Well, it is surely a blessing to all of you this morning. And, you know, surely time goes really quickly. And I think this is our eighth Sunday already. And for 2 months, I'm grateful for your kindness, your tender spirit, and your hospitality. And I have noticed that your cooking skills are just tremendously good. That's really my taste. So I'm so grateful for your faithfulness over the years. I have been talking about what it means to be a Christian. And also about why we have to be Christians. When we are talking about Christianity, we cannot but think about, or we cannot but talk about faith matter. It is because without faith, there is no way for us to be able to understand, to be able to know God. Faith seems to be the channel that leads us to higher planes of spiritual life. It is also true to say that many people have misunderstood about faith. For example, those who deny the necessity of Christian faith consider faith as an absence of reason. That is one of the understandings that people in the world may have. Recently, I heard the news that atheists had offered their summer camp programs to teach young ones about science and atheistic values. Their catchphrase is something like this: "We want to teach children how to think." It gives me a bit of sour taste because it implies that Christians are not thinking people, therefore they need to offer an alternative way of teaching so that children will learn how to think. I must say that in some degrees, Christians are guilty of it. Christians are not free from their faults that have contributed to such a notion. Quite often, science departments in universities or certain research centers do not want to accept some people who may believe in God for certain positions and certain responsibilities or certain projects. Such discrimination comes from a wrong notion that a Christian may not be able to think critically and properly. Or faith is considered as an enemy of reason. Therefore, if someone is a man of faith, then the person cannot be able to reason properly. He cannot be a man of reasoning. Thus, reason versus faith conflict comes in. When we try to speak to people about faith, some of them respond to us that faith is not for someone who uses his reason properly and quite well. Is it really true to say that faith is always against reason? Or is it impossible for a man of faith to be a man of reason? Is a man of faith without reason? I really cannot agree that a man of faith cannot use reason properly. Thinking and knowing have been always, whether you believe it or not, thinking and knowing, critically thinking, in fact, evaluating the situations have been always a part of Christian faith. If God does not want his people to reason, then he did not have to give his people the special revelation, which is the scriptures. God constantly reminds his people to meditate and study on it. On the contrary to this sort of God's exhortation revealed in the scriptures, I understand that a lot of people even today are following after their dreams, their visions. Even they are spending a lot of time in the mountains, in the secluded places for special kind of visions and so on. If any charismatic leaders are saying that last night God appeared to them and God spoke to them about this and that without having any critical thinking, people tend to believe in those words and so on. So men's words are being responded by amens, but God's word has not been responded properly. If someone is trying to study the scriptures, then suddenly he's being branded as a man of faith, but without reason. Where such a wrong concept and such a wrong notion of Christianity and Christian has been brought into our thinking or our society, our community. God himself, in fact, is the God of knowledge. And constantly, the Bible says that God is the God of knowledge. Therefore, the charge against Christians that they are neither reasonable nor thinking people is not sustainable, in fact, based on scripture principles. In fact, that is a false accusation. Noah Webster defined reason as, in quote, a faculty of the mind by which it distinguishes truth from falsehood and good from evil, and which enables the possessor to deduce inferences from facts or from propositions. End of quote. Oxford Compact English Dictionary defines reason as, in quote, the intellectual faculty by which conclusions are drawn from premises. That is very interesting. A faculty transcending the understanding. You know, we are talking about reason, and the definition given by Oxford English Dictionary is this. Reason is a faculty transcending the understanding. Isn't it very interesting? Because when we are talking about reason versus faith, always faith is being excluded in people's discussions because they say that faith is something not really reasonable. It is beyond our comprehension and our understanding. It is a different, it belongs to a different realm. But actually, if you really study the definition of reason, it is not really much different from faith either. Because reason is a faculty transcending the understanding and providing a priori principles, intuition, or sense. If we properly understand reason by lexical definitions, it is a faculty of mind that enables the possessor to deduce inferences from facts, propositions, or premises. I was quite surprised to know that reason, in fact, refers to intuition. Based on these understandings of reason, we are able to say a few things. Number one, faith versus reason conflict is not always genuine, which implies that some of those seeming conflicts between reason and faith are only fallacies. They really do not exist, but they are somehow promoted and propagated amongst certain people. Reason does not always deal with facts, visible and touchable facts, as some people think. Reason has to deal with propositions and premises, and that is exactly the same as Christian faith. Christian faith is presuppositional that there is God who is one and absolute being, which is a premise or proposition. And all those biblical propositions are obviously coming from God's special revelations. Number two, Christian faith is much nobler than reason, in fact. If reason refers only to the level of intuition, intuition is a natural attribute of man which is limited and it is only a part of our old nature. It wants to deal with only sense-based experiences. However, faith is more than that. It soars far beyond the senses and intuitions. Number three, if reason has to be accurate and correct, it has to be equipped with right faith, in fact. It is because reason is a faculty of mind by which it distinguishes truth from falsehood and good from evil. It requires a sincere and pure faith in God that enables him to be renewed in his spirit. A man of faith can be a man of the highest level of reason. In fact, only a man of true faith can be a man of true reason. It is because if someone says, I do not have any faith in God, thus I do not have any absolute values in my thinking patterns and so on, so everything becomes so relative. Well, if that is the case, if someone's reason is talking about certain matters as right, while another person's reason is saying that exactly the same thing is not right, then whose reason is right? This world is going to be the world of confusions if there is no absolute God, if there is no absolute value, if there is no absolute truth by which we may be able to distinguish right from wrongs. In fact, if a man does not have a faith in absolute God, his reason can be terribly wrong. We may have to bring Romans chapter 1:22 again into our thoughts and discussions. And Romans 1:22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. There are people who seem to be the people of reason. And they may profess themselves as wise through their academic credentials and or some sort of achievements and so. But according to God's own definition, even though they may profess themselves as wise, in fact, they are only fools. If reason has to be purely human without God's intervention, then man has the supreme power of this universe. However, a real challenging problem is that there are so many people on this earth, and who will decide whose reason will be used to distinguish from truth to falsehood? You know, we have heard about the news of the Panam, the bomber was released from Scotland, and he reached his home country. And from Western society, sending him to his home country became a kind of a talk of abominations, and people are condemning such a thing. But the Libyans, they are so excited to receive such a man as a hero. Then who is right and who is wrong? Exactly the same event is here, but from one camp it is a matter of condemnation, but from another camp it is a matter of victory. And whose reason is right? When we remove absolute God and His values and His truth, our reason becomes just a foolish thing. Well, there are so many schools of thoughts on moral issues. And which school of thoughts is right? When man removes absolute God from his mind, he is left in jungles where there are so many canine wild beasts and carnivores waiting for praise. We are left at the hands of the powerful people. Their justice will be imposed on us and will be their servants. That has been a history of mankind. When reason comes with faith, it becomes sanctified. Fourth, Oxford Compact English Dictionary defines reason as, in quote, a faculty transcending the understanding, end of quote. We here find the similarities between reason and faith, in fact. Can a man of faith also a man of reason? It surely is possible. It does not mean that they are always in the same camp and always in the same side. Because of our lack of faith, we may rely on reason too much. Or, if we neglect our thinking faculty, it may lead us to blind faith that does not have any substance in it. So there are a lot of people who have faith, even in Christian churches. They are saying that they do have faith and so on. But, you know, in fact, the nature of their faith appears to be only a blind faith, very much subjective faith that cannot be validated by any objective truth revealed in the Scriptures. We must not forget that reason, which is a part of our inner faculties, is also affected by the corruption of our nature. The corruption did not let reason go without corrupting it. Therefore, first of all, we must understand that faith is not moving the believers backward, but in fact forward. I wonder, actually, whether reason promotes faith. If reason is an intuition, then surely reason presupposes the necessity of faith. It is because in every society, every civilization, in every culture, you will find a religion. Whatever nature it is, there is a concept and notion that there is a supernatural being. If that is a part of man's intuition, don't you think that actually faith is higher than reason? Because reason is about intuition. If we do any cultural study, we will soon find that faith in some deities has been the norm, rather than exception in any society. we see that people inherently believe in something greater than themselves. This feeling is inside of all of us. In a sense, we are born with faith, whatever kind of faith that is. Having faith in something is our most natural state. It is not a natural state. In fact, it is the natural state of man. In a sense, those people who are attacking Christian faith are only proving that faith is so natural. Then, I just finished my introduction, even though I have counted so many numbers already. And my first point this morning is that faith is the best expression of man's response to God. Faith is the best response. Best expression of man's response to God. In my message this morning is focused on verse 1 in chapter 11, the book of Hebrews. The Bible, apart from faith, is unthinkable. It is because the Bible teaches us about the faith in God. The word believe occurs 322 times in 287 verses with 6 different forms. The first occurrence of the word believe is in Genesis chapter 15 verse 6, which says, "And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted," God, the Lord, "counted it to Abraham for righteousness." Abraham, who is the father of all believers, believed in God, who was the object of his faith, and it was counted for his righteousness. It is the center of Christian doctrines of man, God, and salvation. Faith occurs 24 times in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 alone. And the expression "by faith," which occurs in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, is found 19 times in this particular chapter. In fact, I must say that faith is the best expression of man's response to God. Why is it so? Well, in order to study on this, I need to revisit Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. First of all, the verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." First, it is because only faith shows our trust in God. If someone says, "I trust in God," but you know, if you are talking about my faith in Him personally, I do not have anything to talk about, then obviously something is not right there. Faith shows our trust in God. In other words, by trusting in Him, we give Him all the credits for our beings. Though verse 1 does not talk about the source of faith here, but rather its practice in real life, I must say that it is important for the believers to recognize the firmness and the solidness of the source or object of our faith. Oxford English Dictionary defines faith as 4 different ways. Number 1 is complete trust or confidence. The last one is faith is duty or full commitment to fulfill a trust or promise. And there are 2 more, like firm belief or religious belief. But for our discussions, I think first and the fourth definitions are pretty reasonable for us to use for our discussions. Faith refers to one's complete trust or confidence. Faith also means one's full commitment to fulfill a trust. And let me use Noah Webster's English Dictionary one more time. And Noah Webster's dictionary defines faith as, in quote, "the assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another, resting on his authority and veracity without other evidence," end of quote. So by faith, in their personal relationship with God, the believers rest on God's authority and His veracity. When we come to God, if we do not trust in Him and cast doubts on His authority and truthfulness, then God is not honored within us. Therefore, faith is the best expression of man's response to God's call. Second, Our faith also shows not only our trust in Him, but our submission to God. It is not too hard to figure it out. If we have really confidence and trust in God and give our complete commitment to Him, then we are not going to rely on ourselves, but instead we are going to rely on God. It is a way to express our confidence in His wisdom, confidence in His power, goodness, and guidance. That's why we are just forsaking our own thoughts, our own evaluations, and our own ideas, but we rely on His guidance and His leading. Instead of relying on our own wisdom or inner guidance, we commit ourselves to be led by God Himself. Thus, we submit ourselves to Him. That is faith. So faith shows our submission to God. You know, sometimes I think we think too much. I think sometimes we calculate too much. Sometimes we are planning too much instead of relying on God, so that we become sensible Christians. We want to be directed and guided by our own articles. You know, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is a very famous passage. These two verses say this, or rather they explain about faith in a very simple way. It says this: trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You know, He says, lean not on thine own understanding. It is something like this. You know, sometimes when I'm preaching, I am putting my whole weight on the pulpit. So sometimes I just gravy something like this. Let me suppose that this structure is not made of solid wood, but it is made out of maybe straws. Let me suppose that I put all my weight on it and I am leaning on this, relying on this. Can I be sustainable here? No, I'm going to be collapsed. And here, the scripture says we are not to lean on our own understanding, but instead we must put all our weight of trust upon God Himself. That is full commitment. That is full submission. We are not being directed by our calculations alone, but we are being directed by His guidance. That is faith. In fact, within this submission, there are two elements we can find. One element is the recognition of our inability or infirmities to lead our own ways. Thus, faith is a confession of our weaknesses. God, I trust in You, and I have put myself upon You. It is because of my shortcomings. It is because of my weaknesses. And I am nothing, but virtually You are everything. That's why I'm submitting myself unto You. That is a faith. And on the other hand, it is the recognition of the power and greatness of God. Whenever we are decreased, God is to be increased in faith, in the realm of faith. It is because instead of relying on ourselves, we rely on Him. It is a praise of His greatness. It is a praise of His might and power. And we confess that God is great, who is able to do all things as He wishes, as He wills, while we are not able to do all those things. In faith, we decrease, but God increases. Third, faith recognizes who God is. Not only faith is not only a submission on our part to God, but also it is a recognition of who God is. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The teachings we find from this verse are very, very interesting. It is because even though it talks about faith, there is no mention of the object of faith. We all know that faith without proper contents may mean really reckless confidence. At the same time, the word faith recognizes that the object of faith is to be unseen. It is an interesting concept, in fact. It is because faith and sight belong to two opposite camps. We walk either by sight or by faith. By putting our faith in God, we are confessing that actually He is unseen and that is a spirit, as the Bible says. By faith, we recognize who God is, who is a spirit. Not being able to see God is not a hindrance of our faith. Sometimes people say that, show me God, then I will believe in Him. Actually, he doesn't understand what faith is supposed to be. When someone says, I have faith in God, that God is not supposed to be seen to us by definition. By faith, we recognize who He is. Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25 say, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Faith also is a declaration about the trustworthiness of God. He is the reliable God who is good and powerful. Thus, faith enables us to recognize who God is. Fourth, faith declares that there is God, a living God. The believers of Jesus Christ are real people, and that means that their God must be real. It was an important confession that Peter confessed to Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. And in the second part of the verse says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. If God is not a living God, then I think a Christian faith must be displayed in a wax museum. Whenever Christians believe in God and pray to Him, they confess that God is the living God and that He hears their voices and He answers to their prayers. That is why idol worship is very unreasonable and they cannot be the objects of true religion, a true worship. Whenever we confess God, we say that God is the living God. Fifth, faith requires relationships. It is because faith refers to trusting God, and basically trust means reliance. There is a relationship. It refers to confidence, which also presupposes some sort of relationship between God and His own people. Apostle John says that our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. Likewise, faith is relational. Thus, in a word, if we add all these points up and come up with a conclusion, faith is a confession about God, and at the same time, it is a confession about ourselves, who we are. Only through faith, we can see who God is and who we are. Faith is man's best expression or best response to God. Secondly, faith is the substance. Faith is substance. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Let us read that verse 1 one more time all together, okay? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Let's read it together. Now, faith is the substance. Amen. Many people have described this verse from many different angles, different perspectives. I'm going to treat this verse as a description, if not definition, of the word faith. It is because, as we can see clearly, faith here is linked together with substance and evidence by a verb, be verb, is. It's an interesting one. Faith, substance, and evidence all are in, let me use a grammatical term, in a nominative case. Faith is substance. Faith is evidence. That is the structure of the sentence. Thus, I'm going to talk about faith as a substance and faith as evidence. And now, let me talk about faith as substance. First, faith being substance is an undeniable proof of its factuality and reality. It simply means that Christians are not dreamers who are not able to make a distinction between reality and imaginations, as some people are accusing Christians. How often are the opponents of Christian faith telling us that faith is intangible and unreliable because it is not seen or touched? Faith is often treated like vapors coming and disappearing. So some people say that we may outgrow stuffs like faith. Faith is being considered like a fad of times. You are still young, so you believe in God, but you know, it's okay. It doesn't harm you, but if you grow up later on, you know, you may just get rid of it. That is the sort of ideas people have. Thus, once in a while, it is not bad to have faith, but, you know, please don't be too serious, people may say. It is because all of these objections are based on an assumption that faith is groundless and there is no real substance in it. People may say that it is just a religious stuff. However, it is not so. Faith is not like a cloud soon to be disappeared or a childish dream staying and going away. It is the substance. That's what it declares. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The Greek word for substance is interesting, really. Greek word for substance employed in this particular verse occurs 5 times in the New Testament. And in fact, it has 3 different forms. The word means confidence in 2 Corinthians 9:14, 9:4 and 11:17. And Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. And it may mean assurance. So sometimes substance is being translated as confidence or assurance. Hebrews chapter 1, 3 is a really a challenging and interesting verse that employs that word. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says this, "Who being the brightness of His glory," that is Christ, "and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." Amen. Well, here, in this particular verse, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, the word person, there is a phrase, Christ is the express image of His person. The word person comes from exactly the same word as we are studying from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The New American Standard Bible translates the same word as nature. So King James Bible is translating the word as person. New American Standard Bible translates it as nature, while the NIV translates as being. The verse says, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 is talking about Christ as the express image of His person. We are talking about God. We are talking about real God and living God here. So that word is translated as person or nature or being, the divine being. The book of Hebrews is talking about the superiority of Christian faith over Judaism. The writer of the book has discussed about Christ being better than angels, Jesus better than Moses or Aaron, and the sacrifice Jesus made on Calvary's cross is better than the sacrifices in the Old Testament. In Hebrews chapter 1, the writer of the book of Hebrews is trying to lay a foundation to prove that Christ Jesus is better than angels. At the same time, in chapter 1, actually, the writer of the book is testifying Jesus as God. He is divine. He's a deity. He's God. He's God and equal to the Father. It is the center of the message of Hebrews chapter 1. In verse 3, in the same chapter, the writer says that Jesus is the express image of His person, nature, being. In other words, He's real.
It is real and factual that Jesus is the Son of God and is the very image of the nature, person, being of God the Father. The very expression, person, being, and the nature is the very word for substance in Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 11, verse 1. Can you see the strength and power in this particular word when the writer of the book of Hebrews is talking about faith? It proves that faith is not foggy, but very firm and very, very solid. Substance is something that is a true expression of the nature of a thing. Faith is that very expression of things hoped for. Faith is real. Faith is substance. We are not dreamers by being men and women of faith. We have the substance. Second, faith is the reality of things hoped for. When we think about hope, when we tend to think about wishful thinking. Wishful thinking is neither a form nor solid expectation. Wishful thinking is related to something that is in opposition to reality. We tend to have wishful thinking when we consider it not really to happen. However, the biblical concept of hope is a lot different from wishful thinking. According to Noah Webster's English dictionary, hope means, in quote, a desire of some good, accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it, or a belief that it is obtainable, end of quote. There is a possibility to obtain what one desires. In the word of hope, that possibility is included. Thus, while wishful thinking may bring pain and anxiety later on, hope comes with pleasure and joy. Maybe those people who are doing gambling or buying lottery tickets have a lot of wishful thinking. And they are glued to TV to find out the numbers, whether they have the right numbers, and they are glued to it. And if their numbers are not right, and what a sadness they may experience. Hope is different. Hope also includes confidence in a future event. However, the main reason that people have a difficulty to have faith or hope for something in great confidence is because they are so used to walk by sight. So as long as they cannot see, there is no expectation in existence in their hearts. So even though they talk about a hope, in fact, their hope is only a wishful thinking. John chapter 20 verse 29 is a verse that Jesus was talking to Thomas, and Jesus said unto that doubting Thomas, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8 says, "Whom having not seen, ye love." We are talking about Christ Jesus, and we are talking about the faith of believers. They have not seen him. Well, it is already the hearers of the message given by Apostle Paul were belong to already the second generation in Christian faith. They are listening and they are hearing about Christ Jesus through the apostles themselves. And they have never seen Christ Jesus as the first generation Christianity. So they heard about Jesus, they heard the truth about Jesus, of Christ Jesus, through the apostles. So they have never seen him before, but Peter says, you love him, in whom though now ye see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Though we hope, when we hope for something, we cannot see it, we rejoice in it, because we have faith. Faith brings things we hope for to reality.
Thus, faith provides a sustainability of our hope in times of troubles and afflictions. Maybe what we see has to despair us, but faith delivers us from such a thing. Faith is the substance for the things we hope for. In times of uncertainties, therefore, we need that faith in God. It is the substance for things that we hope for. Lastly, faith is the evidence. Hebrews 11 verse 1 again says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." First, I want you to find the meaning of evidence to have a better understanding of the verse, because he says faith is the evidence. And what is the evidence? The word for evidence in Greek also means proof, proving, or inner conviction. It refers to proof by which a thing is proved or tested. Thus, evidence is something that enables our minds to be able to see truth. Evidence is a witness that testifies to a fact. Thus, here, the factuality is being stressed out. Faith is not something like attempts to catch clouds or smokes. Second, the next word is things, because he says faith is the evidence of things not seen. The root word for things in Greek is translated as deed, thing, event, matter, and so on. You know, at first it looks like just a very insignificant word. And, you know, actually when we are using the word thing in our conversation with someone else, usually that thing really does not mean much, right? You know, this thing, that thing, those things, when we cannot describe, or things are very, very insignificant, then we use the word thing. So things like that, or thing, a thing is that, and this or that thing. The word for things in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 is a noun. And it has a plural form, so it is not a thing, but a things. And it has a genitive case, so of something. I found that exactly the same form of the word is used four times in the Greek New Testament. Besides Hebrews 11:1, it was used in Luke chapter 1 verse 1 and Hebrews 6 verse 18 and Hebrews chapter 10 verse 1. So I wanted to find out the word meaning from those different verses. So I went to Luke chapter 1 verse 1. And there, things are referring to those truths that have been already believed among God's people and that Luke was eventually going to write in his gospel. So when the same word is used in Luke chapter 1 verse 1, actually those things are not just trivial matters, but actually they are talking about, they are referring to the truths of God that the children of God must believe. In Hebrews chapter 10 verse 1, the same word refers to the real thing, while the law is only a shadow of things to come. So law is only a shadow, but there are real things. And that's the word that Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 uses. In other words, in every case, the word means something that is really solid, that cannot be false. It refers to something that is not changeable. And finally, the King James translates the same word in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, in relation to evidence. Now, can you see the strongest possible sense of truthfulness and the highest level of reliability implied in this particular word? The writer of the book of Hebrews gives the highest honor to the word faith. Faith is something that is really trustworthy, and faith is something that is really reliable. Third, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Well, people may laugh at people of faith. They may jeer at them that they do not follow the things that are seen. They may say, you know, mockingly, to show them God. However, faith is for people who are carried only by the arms of God. It is because they are the people who believe in the unseen. It is because they are born of God. They are the ones who have divine conviction of the things of God. They are the ones whose hearts and minds are beyond the horizon of the material world. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, only two verses before Hebrews 11, 1, has a very important declaration about faith. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, you know, if you know that in ancient times, actually, there was no verse and chapter divisions in the scriptures, you can see how close relationship, chapter 10, verse 38 and chapter 11, verse 1 might have in the reading succession. And chapter 10, verse 38 says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." This verse comes within a context in which the believers are suffering and needing lots of patience in order to receive the promise of God. Some had doubted in their circumstances and they began to move backward. Then the author of the book of Hebrews declares that faith is in fact the evidence of things not seen yet. There are promises of God and you have believed in God's promises because of the fact that you have not seen the fulfillments of God's promises. Now you are moving backward. But writer of the Hebrews says, no, that is not the way, the right way. God is not pleased with such a thing, but the just shall live by faith. It is because faith is the evidence. Well, the author of the book of Hebrews declares that faith is the evidence of the things not seen. What a powerful declaration that is. At the same time, we must know that faith is not vague. It is because faith is grounded in God according to His revelation, which is the Bible, the Word of God. At this point, I need to talk about one thing that you and I should not ignore. It is about the validity of our faith. If faith has to be the substance, if faith has to be the evidence, then faith must have right contents. We should be able to validate our faith. Otherwise, we may believe in wrong things. There are so many people who have faith, but because of wrong object or wrong contents of their faith, in fact, they are believing in wrong things. So that means that true faith must be qualified. Quite often, the biblical faith accompanies a definite article, though. So quite often you can find the word T-H-E before faith. The faith. It means that it is not any sort of faith. It is a very definite faith. It means that it has to be validated. It has to be qualified. And there are three different means that God uses to impart His grace or gift of faith in our souls. One is God's Word. The other one is the preaching, hearing of God's Word. And the second one is the Spirit of God. And the third one may be kind of overlapping with the first one, but the gospel. From the list we just studied, hearing the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the gospel, we can find that faith has to be grounded in the gospel or at least in the Word of God. Therefore, if someone says, you know, Pastor Key, I'm a man of faith, you know, but I have not come to church. I have not studied the scriptures. I have not heard the preaching of God's word and so on. But, you know, I have been a Christian for 50 years or 100 years. I have been a Christian for a few decades and so on. And I was born in a Christian family. I grew up in a Christian family. I married to a Christian man and I grew up, I raised my children in Christian way. So can't you see that I have faith? But honestly speaking, I have not really listened to lots of, messages from God's word. And I haven't really devoted myself to study scriptures, but I am a man of faith or I'm a woman of faith. Well, it doesn't work that way. That person may have faith, but for sure, his faith or her faith, it doesn't matter how long that person has been in Christian faith. That person is still immature. The person is still spiritual baby. That is a simple fact. Faith grows through preaching of God's word, listening to God's word through the Spirit of God. Therefore, if you want to grow in faith, in true faith, I'm saying, you must hear God's word and you must come to listen to the Word of God. Secondly, true faith must be proven.
2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 tells us to observe and examine our faith. And James chapter 1 verse 3 says that our faith is going to be tested. Therefore, you know, some trials will come to test your faith. It's not a strange thing at all. In fact, that is the way that your faith will grow and your faith is going to be proven. Third, true faith is a working faith. That means that faith is a means that we must live, we must use to live in this world. So we live by faith. True faith is a means that we must use. Therefore, true faith is a working faith. It is not just a theoretical faith, but it's a working faith. Every day, whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we plan, wherever we go, we do it by faith. And I think that is a missing virtue. In many Christian churches and many Christians, talking about faith is quite easy. But working faith, having working faith, seems to be a very rare virtue, trait, characteristic we find in our days. Faith is working faith. Well, faith is the man's best response to God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. This afternoon, I'm going to dissect the faith more in details, and the contents that we are going to study this afternoon will be really vast, so I may not go into very much in details, but at least you will be able to see some outlines of the nature of faith this afternoon. So I want to encourage all of you to stay behind or come back for evening services, tonight. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Lord, we do thank you for the gift of faith, and the faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Dear Father, we want to respond to you through faith and by faith. Help us to live by faith. We pray in Jesus' name.